Now, I was reading an article in the Sunday Independent over the weekend written by Sean McGoldrick that says 4 years after being on the cusp of a career breakthrough in professional boxing, Caitlin Phelan is ready to roll the dice again. But this is a different Caitlin Phelan from the 20-year-old who went to Germany in the middle of the COVID pandemic and outclassed the local unbeaten heroine Jessica Shadko in her home gym to secure 3 world belts in her only her 4th professional fight. And we're told we're meeting now Caitlin Phelan 2.0. And Caitlin is with me in studio. Good to have you in, Caitlin, and good to see you again. And there's a quote here in the paper that says, "You're now the best version of yourself who admitted that you contemplated ending your life due to depression and anxiety." We'll get to that in a moment. First of all, how are you doing now? How's things?
Good. Like, I'm actually in the best place mentally and physically that I can be in a very, very long time, and just buzzing to get back in the ring. I can't wait.
Yeah, how long has it been since you had your last fight then?
So it would have been 3.5 years ago since my last fight. I got actually injured and I had to get an operation on my elbow, so that kept me out a little bit longer than what I hoped for. I've a lovely little scar on my elbow at the moment, so, but yeah, no, just 3.5 years is a long time. So
it is a long time, and I know you're back training and you have a fight coming up now on the 12th of April. Did you find it hard to get back into the swing of things, because it's not like you just took a couple of weeks out, you know, 3.5 years? Did you just pick up from where you left off, or did you feel you had to go back to basics?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. It's like, it was a little bit difficult at first because I was so used to kind of just being lazy, to be completely honest. Like, I didn't want to train, didn't want to do anything, obviously, when I was in my dark patch. And then I just kind of, it's like I woke up one morning, hit a switch and was like, yeah, I want to do this again. And just, I got back training, myself and my boyfriend Shane. He helped me through an awful lot of it, and he just kind of kept pushing me and saying, look, you can do this, you got it. So we used to get up, we used to train together, and then one day I just said, look, I want to give it another shot at boxing. And it's literally, it's like riding a bike, like it just comes back naturally. And just, yeah, no, it's good to be back. So
you've been boxing since, I think, the age of 6, you know, maybe probably even before that, but that's 14, 15 years before you took that little bit of a break that you were boxing for so long.
Yeah.
So you've had to be disciplined for those years. Did you think maybe in a way the break was good?
Oh, best decision I ever made. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, you would have been a lot bigger and a lot higher up in the rankings and you would have been signed by this and that. But to be completely honest, there was no point me going further when I wasn't in a headspace for it. Like, obviously things would have been a lot bigger, I would have got a lot more publicity, and there was genuinely no point when my heart and my head weren't ready for that at that time. The best decision I made in my life was to take that time away. And I came back and I said, I'm doing it for me this time. Like I was boxing since age of 5 or 6, and it was my whole life. Like, a lot of kind of teenagers, they're kind of out with friends, out partying, drinking, stuff like that. I never done that through my teenage life, and it was just nice to have a little bit of a break and just not worry about, oh, I'm going to have a chocolate bar. Well, I can't eat that chocolate bar. Like, if I wanted something to eat, I would have it. Whereas boxing is very strict like that. Obviously, a lot of people kind of manage it and stuff like that, but it's kind of, it's good to be back at it and kind of have that kind of discipline and mindset of an athlete again.
Back to that fight that I referenced there in just around COVID, when you went over to Germany, you were on the brink, as people would say, on the brink of big things. And people would say that you could have been bigger, as you've mentioned there. Yeah. Did you feel as though maybe pressure was getting to you at all? Or what do you think, if anything, sparked that dark patch that you went through?
So obviously, I didn't expect it to be as big as it was. I knew it was a big thing winning titles, but then again, I didn't expect the backlash behind it. Like, you're going to get good people giving you praise and stuff like that, but you also had the negative ones as well. And I didn't kind of think I would be getting the negative ones as much as I did. I got an awful lot of negative comments from certain people, and it kind of just, when you were in a boxing ring, you have such a big high when you win. Like, the high is probably bigger than any drink or drugs that people do. And then 2 or 3 days later, you hit a certain low, and that low is very, very low, and then you have all the negative comments on top of that. I just didn't know how to deal with it. Like, I genuinely didn't know what to do, didn't know who to turn to. And just, instead of actually standing up and speaking out and saying, look, I'm struggling with it, don't know what to do, these people are saying this, I tried to hold it into myself, and it was the worst thing I ever done.
I remember speaking to Eric Donovan, actually, and he said something similar. You know, when, because it's such a a personal sport. You're in the ring, you have your team in your corner, but it's you versus somebody else. If you win, that high, I'm sure, is fantastic. But if you lose, having put in the work that you've put in, it can probably bring you to a very dark place.
Yeah.
What, I suppose, made you then reach out for help? And who did you tell first that this is not just me feeling a little bit low, this is getting a bit more serious?
Yeah, so Shane kind of noticed it in me. It was over kind of a couple of weeks, to be honest. He kind of noticed I wasn't myself. Like, everyone was like, oh, you're not the bubbly, happy girl that you used to be. And just, there was no point, really. Like, I genuinely didn't feel like there was a point of doing anything. I didn't want to get up in the mornings, didn't want to go for a run or training, or didn't even want to go out for a walk with the dog. And he kind of noticed it. And then I said to him and I said to my mum, look, I'm struggling. And we kind of just tried to work on it, and I tried to work on it myself over a few days and a few weeks, and I wasn't getting anywhere. It was just getting worse and worse, and like I said, I didn't want to get out of bed, and that was kind of the big point for me. I didn't want to get up, whereas I used to get so excited to get up in the mornings because I had something to live for, whereas then I was like, I really don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. And I said, Shane, look, I need help. And it was Shane, he brought me over to A&E. And I went into the doctor in A&E and I said, look, I'm struggling. I do feel quite suicidal. I'm afraid that if I don't ask for the help now, I don't know what I'm capable of doing. And it was a big turning point, and I'm really glad I did. And I'm glad that I asked for the help, because I wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't. So,
have you ever felt that, or did you ever feel that before? You know, because I know back in your school days you went through, you know, a tough period, but had it ever gotten that bad, or was that just something completely different? You never felt that before?
Never as bad or to the extent of what I got. Like, obviously back when I was in school, social media was kind of only coming up, whereas social media is a big thing now. Like, I came off all social media for, I'd think, 3 or 4 months when I was feeling rough, because you see someone online and you try and compare yourself to them. You're like, oh geez, they look so happy, like they have the best life ever. And then if you talk to them, you're like, no, I'm not doing that great. Like, I just want to let people think I am. Like, that's the worst thing about it. And like, again, like, it is social media, I think, that is an awful lot of the problems with even a lot of kids today. Like, my coach Dan was running a fundraiser there at the weekend for mental health charity up in Belfast, and the lady was saying to him that there's kids as young as 4 coming in with anxiety. Like, I genuinely couldn't get over that. Like, that is mental to think. And I just wish that people would reach out as well. And like, I'm here for someone. If someone's listening to this day and they're having a really bad time, give me a text on Instagram, give me a text on Facebook. I will be there to listen and I will help them. So
when you went into A&E then, what happened? What was the next step then? You spoke to some of the doctors, I'm sure. What did you say to them, and what help did you get?
So I said, I think I sat in the waiting room for about 3 hours, which was quite a short time considering. And I think I cried for the whole amount of time. It was obviously during COVID still, so I was by myself, which made things a lot worse. Like, Shane was waiting in the car park. My coaches came and they were kind of waiting. My parents were there, but no one could come in with me. And obviously I had the support system there, but I just felt so alone. And doctors, they help, but they don't help. Like, they just see you as a patient. They don't give a shit what you're going through, really. Like, they have so many things going on. And when they brought me in, they're like, oh, like, fill out this form. So I filled it out and they're like, look, we're not going to keep you in. We'll send you home. We don't think you're that bad. And I was like, okay. And they're going, go to your local GP. So I booked in the next morning with my GP. I think I got home, it was like 2 or 3 a.m. after going, I think, about 8 or 9 to the hospital. Like, and I went into my local GP. It was Dr. Collins in Kildare, and he prescribed me antidepressant. And I was always the person that said, I will never take tablets. I absolutely hate them. And to be honest, I've changed my mindset completely. Because if I didn't have them tablets to help me at that period of time, like, I wouldn't have got the help that I needed.
But it's nothing to be ashamed about. I think there is maybe that stigma that, I mean, yeah. I don't want to take antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication, but yeah. you know yourself from boxing, if you get a whack in the head and you have a headache the next day, you'll take paracetamol, yeah, exactly. you know? So, yeah. you know, they're just another tablet that you take
it's
once or twice
a day. It's just that little bit of help to give you, like, a little bit of a step up the ladder. Yeah. Like, it's not saying that's what you're going to be on for your whole life. It's going to say that's a little bit of help to kind of get you back on the right track. And I'm glad that I took them.
Yeah, I'd say going through your mind as well, did you feel a little bit in between and possibly a little bit of guilt because, you know, you mentioned there you had that support from Shane and from your family as well. But even though you have that support network, you still feel alone. Yeah. And it's a very hard thing to even understand that, well, why, you know, everybody says that they love me. Mm. Everybody says that they're here for me. But I still don't feel that.
I genuinely, like, I didn't care. I couldn't think of anything else. I was just feeling so low and so down that no matter who said they were there for me, it didn't matter. Like, it was like one in one ear and out the other. And I know everyone showed me and supported me and I'm forever grateful for it. But at that period of time, it could have been the President of Ireland standing beside me and I wouldn't have cared. Mm. I knew how I felt and it was a hard time to change my mindset at that time. But like I said, I did, and I'm glad I did.
I want to we'll go to the positive and the fact that you got your spark back and you're back boxing and all of that.
Yeah.
But when you say that you were suicidal and contemplating and ending your life, how scary is that? Those thoughts, to even think those thoughts.
It's terrifying. Absolutely yeah. terrifying. Like, I'm quite blessed and quite lucky and grateful for what I have in my life. Like, I have a house over my, or a roof over my head. I have a good loving family and I have Shane, which I'd be so lost without, but none of it matters. Like I said, you have only one thing on your mind and it's so scary, so dark. Like, you could, like, anything that you loved, you just don't love anymore. Like, my boxing was my passion and I hated it. I despised it. I couldn't even watch it on TV anymore. I just absolutely hated it. Even the thought of boxing, or if someone asked me, oh, when's your next fight? I got so angry. And then my anger turned into crying. So, like, I was just constantly crying all the time. And everyone looks at you and like, oh, you're this big, hardy boxer. You're meant to be really tough.
Mm.
I was just like a crybaby. Like, I just cried and cried and cried. And I don't mind saying it. Like, I'm very soft. But it was, like, it's hard to even talk about because you genuinely are in such a dark place. Like, it doesn't matter. Even my cat and my dog, I didn't give a shit about them. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
You're all right. But when did you get that spark back then? Was it after you went to the doctor and you got that medication and people started rallying around you again that you came out of it then? How did you come out the other side?
So it took me, I'd say, about 2 years. To be completely honest, I started off training in the gym. I started doing a bit of CrossFit, which was the total opposite to boxing. I started off myself and Shane doing that in the gym, and then I just slowly just added in more little bits. And then one day I said, you know what, I'll throw my wraps and my gloves on, I'll hit the bags. And I started just doing that, and like I said, I got the operation on my elbow, so I was trying to kind of be a bit cautious about that. It took me a while to kind of get it in my head. You can throw it again, like, it's perfectly fine. Mm. Don't be afraid. But it just started off adding little bits every day. And like I said, I know Shane will probably give out to me for constantly saying it, but he was my lifeline. And I'm so glad I had someone like that there to listen to me, to deal with my shit again and throw tissues at me and throw chocolate at me when I was crying.
Yeah. So what's the plan going forward then? You've a fight coming up on the 12th of April. You've been training in Kildare Town, training in Belfast as well.
Yeah, so my next fight is April 12th. It's called The Fast Lane is the name of the show. It's with JB Promotions. It'll be in the Red Cow. It's actually The Warehouse, it's called. So I can't wait. I'm buzzing to get back. Just get back fighting and show people, look, I know I was away, but I'm here and I'm back. Like, you're going to know my name again quite soon. But, like, I have a new management, which is Ian Gochran. And, like, he'll well, sorry, he warned me I had to say he's the best manager in the whole wide world. So
according to him?
According to him, yeah. And I have a new coach as well, Dan Anderson, up in Belfast. So I'm travelling up and down to Belfast and just, I have that spark back inside me and I'm excited.
Yeah. So. Well, you can see it anyway. And listen, thanks so much for coming into us, for sharing your story. Yeah. And I'm glad that you have that spark back and we look forward to following your career as well, you know, over the next while. So the 12th of April, that fight is going to happen?
Yeah, so the 12th of April. And I just want to say a massive thank you to my sponsors that helped me out with camp for this fight. So we've Lucky Day Competitions, Mellow Coffee Bar and Bistro, Hairbell, Knockline and Auto Pint, Wolf Cycles, Next Level Rehab and Recovery, Ricotech International, Seventh Catering, Val's Cabs in a Tie, and Aidan Keegan, which is Shane's stepdad. He sponsored to help me out with my fight gear. And I also just want to say good luck to my two campmates, Owen O'Neill and Conor Kerr. They're fighting actually on Saturday night up in Belfast as well. So I'm excited to go up and watch them kind of get the wins and just do well.
Good stuff. Caitlin Phelan, thanks so much for coming in to us, and
thank
good
you.
To talk to you again. Look
thank
after yourself.
Much.